Welcome to the Strategy Driven Podcast. What is a strategy driven organization? Hi. I'm Nathan Ives, along with my co-host, Howard Dickens. We would like to welcome you to this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. What is a Strategy Driven Organization? The Strategy Driven Podcast series focuses on the tools and techniques managers and executives can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve better results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practices and warning flags posted on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. This podcast defines the characteristics that make an organization strategy driven, how those qualities are developed, and what benefits an organization reaps by becoming strategy driven. So without any further delay, let's get started.
Hello, hello.
Hello. How you doing, Howard?
I'm doing well, Nathan. How are you?
Hey, I'm excellent. I'm excellent.
Fantastic. Nathan, what's a strategy-driven organization?
Well, Howard, I see a strategy-driven organization as having three key things. Those things are shared vision, focus, and commitment. Now, the shared vision, of course, is that singular thing that is the purpose of the organization. Focus just suggests that the executive, the management, teams and all the individual contributors understand what the vision is and then are focused such that the decisions they make and the activities they perform are all driving toward that singular vision. And then, of course, commitment is all important. In other words, we're committed to doing what is the best thing to achieving that singular vision. We don't take on a lot of ancillary jobs or activities that would stray our attention, our focus from that shared vision. And so when you have commitment, then you have the ultimate engagement of the workforce, and everyone is contributing their fullest in the way of their knowledge, their skills, and their experience into the decisions and the activities that are focused up on that shared vision.
That's interesting. But doesn't every business have a vision statement? And people, by doing their work, just naturally support the accomplishment of that vision?
Oh, well, Howard, you're right. You know, I think if we went around to most companies, whether they're just, you know, whether it's a mom and pop shop or it's a big Fortune 500 company, they all have a vision that, you know, kind of states what they're out there driving for. What's important here, though, is that all the employees, the managers, the executive team, all the individual contributors, they understand what that vision is. And they understand it in a way that they can relate it to their day-to-day work. And they can describe how the day-to-day activities and the decisions they make help directly achieve that vision. They're able to express the goals of the organization and how the vision, how those vision-driven goals affect the decisions they make and how it shapes their behaviors in a way that, you know, they're constantly driving so that I know when I'm doing this job or this task, it's supporting the big picture vision of my organization and helping us all be successful.
Sounds like nirvana. Does any organization really achieve this, Nathan?
Well, you're right. It does kind of sound like mom and apple pie and blue skies and all, but they really do. I remember being at a plant once, and when I walked into the facility to do some consulting work, the vice president who was in charge challenged me to find somebody, anybody, in that plant that didn't have a clear understanding of what his vision was that they were to accomplish. And that vision had four separate goals. And, I spent 2 weeks at that site talking to, literally hundreds of people. And I could not find a single individual that couldn't very clearly state what that vision was and what the goals that they were supposed to do. And in fact, what was really telling was I was at one of the morning management meetings. So you got all the managers there, the vice president's there, the plant manager's there, the whole management team is there. And they're going through, the activities of the day. And along the way, there was an activity that had gotten deferred. It was a high-risk evolution that put the plant's operations at some risk, and it had gotten deferred. Well, at the end of the meeting, there was a supervisor that stands up, and this person's got something to say, and he says, we deferred this high-risk activity, and I have a job, just a small maintenance job, to do a little modification to some of our control systems that was associated with that activity because it was, tied in with that risk. In other words, while this piece of equipment was out of service, I could do my modification and the plant wouldn't associate or assume any more risk. And he says, our vision of excellence here is to minimize risk. And when we moved that high risk activity out of our work week, and we left my little activity in the work week, well, my little activity has us assume all the same risk. And it's not necessary. There's nothing pressing making us do that. And so we didn't adhere to our own vision by moving my activity out of the work week along with that high risk evolution. And when you sat there, the message was powerful. Here was an individual who clearly understood the vision, understood how his activities and those of the people that worked for him were related to that vision. And when those activities now were going to be coming in conflict with the vision, was able to stand up and had the courage to address the senior leadership at the site and say, hey, look, I've got a conflict with our vision, and I think that we need to take some action, and here's my recommended action. Just an outstanding example. And I think, when we talk about nirvana existing, this is truly a case where nirvana did exist. And quite honestly, this plant just had absolutely outstanding performance.
That's very good, Nathan. Thanks for sharing that with us. I'm sure our listeners want to know, how does an organization become strategy-driven?
Well, Howard, that in and of itself is not an easy thing to do, but it can be actually broken down into a stepwise process, and it really encompasses three things. One, it starts with the strategic planning process. It's going to then translate into translating the strategy into the tactical projects, initiatives, and processes that the organization is going to undertake. And then it's imbuing that understanding of the vision and translating it still further into the day-to-day activities and behaviors of the individuals. So if we were to step back and start with the strategic planning process, that really is something that's done by the executive team. So here, the executives of the organization set clear direction and define a measurable set of goals and priorities for that vision. And then with those goals, they're able to engage the management team who then helps develop and recommend a portfolio of the projects and initiatives that will best meet that set of vision goals. The executive team then weighing in on the various, you know, resource constraints, the limited people, the limited finances, the limited materials and the like, selects from this large portfolio of projects and initiatives the subset that the organization can actually undertake that's going to help them best achieve their vision and those vision goals. And then lastly, the management team, now with this very clearly defined set of projects, initiatives, and processes, translates the vision that one last step in terms of personal goals, performance standards and expectations, reinforcement and feedback of that performance and expectations amongst the workforce, and then through their decision-making process where they make the tactical choices day-to-day of what the organization's going to do to really do that final shaping so that we have an organization where all the contributors, through their activities, their behaviors, are driving that vision then from the bottom up.
Wow, this is good stuff. Nathan, I must admit, this is really, really very educational. And I'm sure our listeners, they're probably saying, this is good, Nathan. And yet it seems like a significant amount of work. Why pursue becoming strategy driven? What's the benefit to becoming strategy driven?
Yeah, Howard, to say it's a little bit of work would be a huge understatement. The organizations that I have seen that really do this, they have taken years to get there. It takes a phenomenal amount of time, and so it's never ending. But you've constantly got to work on the communication because you got to keep it in front of people. And you got to make sure that, especially if anyone new comes into the organization, that they understand that vision and how their activities and decisions go to help achieve that vision. But here's what I see as the really three big benefits to having a very strategy-driven organization. The first one is in the area of decision-making, and these are decisions at that strategic executive level, all the way down to the individual contributor who's trying to decide, do I do this activity first or do I do this second activity first? When you have that very clearly defined vision and you understand what are the exact priorities of the organization, it really helps speed that decision-making process because you have clarity around what the organization wants you to do. And when you have that increased speed in decision making, you can respond to market changes faster at a strategic level, or simply you can just perform more efficiently because you've gotten rid of a lot of the debate down at the individual contributor level. The other thing it does is it increases the likelihood that you're going to be successful, because in decision making, one of the primary things that will make you successful is if you have that clear target you're shooting for. If the target we're shooting for is very nebulous and unclear, well, the plan of attack that we make to go after it is just as likely to miss the target as it is to hit. And when we're strategy driven, it's all based on having that clarity around the vision cascaded down through the organization, and it's that clarity that gives us a clear sight of the target, and it makes us more likely to pick the actions that are going to allow us to achieve our goals. So clarity in decision making is really the first benefit. The second one is almost equally important, and that is the increase in organizational alignment. Now, we already talked about how speed of decision-making increases work efficiency, but it's that other piece of decision making with the clarity of the actions that we've selected that are most directly supporting the vision. What ends up happening then is we stop wasting resources on these ancillary things that don't most directly support us achieving our goals. So we end up working more efficiently. And those resources all tend to be focused on that which creates the most value for our organization. The other thing is because we're all focused on the organization's vision and not necessarily our own personal vision or that personal vision of our own business unit, we tend to work more efficiently across the organization. And so it's that working together cross-functionally that enhances our organizational effectiveness and makes us a more efficient team, which again helps us to produce greater value more rapidly for the organization and at a lower cost. The last thing it does, and I think this is one of those really important things that folks don't often talk about, but it's really key for a high-performing organization, is that being strategy-driven increases organizational accountability. When you have an organization that is focused on achieving its goals and is acting in a way that rewards and promotes those who most effectively support that goal achievement, you reap a lot of benefits. You start attracting the best people because you're rewarding the best for their ability to achieve the goals. You're creating more opportunity as you have the best people in your organization because they're being rewarded for their goal achievement. Well, those people now with greater knowledge and skills and experience are more likely to first recognize opportunities when they come along. They're also going to put you as an organization and as a leader of that organization in a better position to exploit those opportunities and go after them. Because going after opportunities isn't all about just having the financial backing to go after it. You need the people, the knowledge and the skills resources to go after those opportunities too. And if you don't have those, it doesn't matter how much money you have. You're not going to see the opportunity. You're not going to be capable of pursuing it. And so having greater accountability means you're going to be able to seize more opportunities. It's going to help you be more successful. And finally, because people are all working together, they're acting together to achieve those very clear, very specific, prioritized visionary goals, there's a trust that's built into the organization. There's a trust that says, hey, if within the parameters of the organization's processes and procedures and standards, expectations, if I try something new to achieve this goal and I fail, I'm not going to be railroaded out of the organization. Accountable organizations, so long as people operate within the boundaries of the organization's rules and policies, is respectful and does not punish people who try and fail. It's when, because if we don't try, we won't succeed. We can't innovate if we don't make that first step, if we make that first, take that first risk. And so accountable organizations, because they have this trust, people are more likely to take that first step, that bit of a risk, and the organization's not going to come down on them for it, as long as they act in those guidelines that the organization sets up. So again, just kind of to go over the benefits: clarity of decision making, we've got increased organizational alignment, and we've got increased accountability, all which just phenomenally propel the organization forward to be far more successful than an organization that is in a similar business but isn't strategy driven.
Nathan, this is really good. I've been really quiet because I've been taking a lot of notes. let's see if I can put this in a strategy-driven nutshell.
Okay.
You let me know if I'm on track here for our listeners. Strategy-driven organization has a shared vision, focus, and commitment. And this is created by, number one, strategic planning. Number two, translated into projects, initiatives, and standards. And number three, reflected and reinforced in day-to-day activities and decisions. Am I on point?
Oh, you are right on point.
And the benefits include three things. Number one, decision-making. Number two, organizational alignment. And last but not least, number three, organizational accountability.
Right on the money, sir.
Did I do good?
Yeah, you did great. That's right on the money there, sir. And that wraps us up. Thank you for joining us for this, our inaugural edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. We certainly hope that you enjoyed today's program and would appreciate if you provided us feedback via email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. Registered members gain access to the many strategy-driven white papers, models, and members-only categories such as organizational accountability and decision-making. And registration is always free. Until next time, so long.